Father, we recognize that our fleshly, sinful desires are at odds with your spirit inside of us. And we know that this causes sometimes a great deal of strife. We recognize that maybe before we had come to Christ, we did not have as much difficulty living our lives, but the spirit working against us or our fleshly nature is causing strife, and we ask that that war would be won in us by your spirit doing the work. And Father, I pray that we would follow your spirit into battle as we win this war against sin. Teach us now from your word, in Jesus' name, amen. Last week we looked at what it means to walk by the Spirit, or to be led by the Spirit. Verse 18, these terms, these phrases are synonymous with verse 25, living by the Spirit. If you look at verse 25 with me, it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Paul uses these four phrases to describe the same thing. And if we follow the Spirit or walk or be led by the Spirit, this helps us in our ongoing struggle against our sinful nature, and as what Paul calls it, or as Paul calls it, the desires of the flesh. The Spirit moves ahead of us, and we follow His lead. We don't try to attack our sin on our own. We diligently seek the Spirit in our lives, and then we let Him do the fighting for us. The struggle that we face in life, the work that we put into our spiritual life, is struggling to seek the Holy Spirit, struggling to follow the Holy Spirit. And as we continue that struggle, as we engage in that war, the Holy Spirit then takes that and He defeats the sinful desires in our life. So conquering our sinful nature is not really about willing ourselves to do good, but it's about engaging in the spiritual disciplines that feed our spiritual life. Last week we looked at a few questions, and our first question really was this: what is our real problem and why is it so hard to come, hard to overcome? And we saw from this first part of our passage that we have desires that are opposed to God. And to compound that problem, we end up committing acts that will be punished by God. And we saw four categories of those 15 or 17 acts, depending upon what Bible translation you have, what Paul calls the works of the flesh. One category is sinful sexuality. Not all sexuality is sinful, but sexuality that's carried out contrary to God's word is sinful, whatever it might be. There might be pagan religious practices, sorcery or idolatry, and anything that might fall into that category, those works that Paul describes in these verses is not an exhaustive list, but they fall into these general categories. And when we embrace pagan religious practices, we're committing works of the flesh, works that Paul says will be punished by God. Those who do such things or make it a practice of doing these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But there's also interpersonal conflict. The things that we as Christians seem to let slide. We're very vocal about the sexual sins, but when it comes to sins of envy and conceit, and sins of pride, those things that may be a little bit more subtle, may not be as evident visibly, we tend to let those things slide, and yet Paul lumps them all together as works of the flesh. He says, if you make a practice of doing these things, guess what? You will not inherit the kingdom of God. And of course, the last category is debauchery or overindulgence. Just taking things way out of context or taking them to an unhealthy or sinful level, whatever that might be. but it's getting into debauchery or overindulgence, and that is a sinful thing. Well, we began looking at the second question last week, and that's the question of how does the Holy Spirit work on our behalf to overcome our problem? And we saw that the Holy Spirit fights for us. We looked at this verse in verse 17. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, or against our sinful nature. And we learned a lesson from that. And the lesson was that we need to rely on the Holy Spirit to do the fighting for us. He says in verse 16, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Too often we try to fight the desires of the flesh, but fail. And the action that we should be putting into our life is not so much fighting the desires of the flesh, as it is struggling to cling to the Holy Spirit, who himself fights the desires of the flesh. It's an act of faith. And we'll get into spiritual disciplines as in just a few minutes. We'll see how those are the struggle that we fight for, that we work for in our Christian life, so that the Holy Spirit will do this fighting for us. And the question that we might have, or we might ask ourselves, are we trusting the Holy Spirit? Are we trusting Him enough to go before us? Are we trusting that He is going before us, that He's standing between us and our sin? Or are we, in our lifestyle, kind of pushing the Holy Spirit aside and saying, I'll handle this myself? Is the Holy Spirit the one leading you into battle? Well, that brings us to this portion of our text this morning. Continuing to answer this question, how does the Holy Spirit work on our behalf? Well, we see that He fights for us. But we'll also see that He feeds us. He feeds us. See, if you feed your flesh, if you feed the desires of your flesh, your sinful nature, you will produce the works of the flesh. So feeding our sinful nature, looking at things that we shouldn't look at, indulging in things that we shouldn't indulge in, allowing ourselves the luxury of engaging in habits that we should not be engaging in. If we feed the sinful nature, it's no wonder that we produce the works of the flesh. But if we feed our spirit, we'll produce the fruit of the Spirit. Now, what does the Holy Spirit feed us on? Well, first of all, He feeds us on His Word. There was a Lifeway study, and it was in that little insert that you got in your bulletin 1 or 2 weeks ago. A Lifeway study. Lifeway is the research arm and bookstore, really, of the Southern Baptist Church. They did a study of kids growing up in Christian households, and they found that children that read the Scriptures regularly in their own households are more likely to continue on in the faith and continue on being engaged in the Christian church as they become adults, more so than those who don't practice the Scripture reading regularly in their own homes. The Holy Spirit feeds us His Word. Speaking to the Israelites, Moses said this, and this was something that Jesus Himself quoted in Matthew chapter 4 as He was resisting that first temptation of Satan, being led by the Spirit out into the wilderness. But Moses says this, and He humbled you, and let you hunger. Notice He let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The Holy Spirit feeds us His Word. When we receive God's Word, whether it's in the preaching moment or a teaching moment, whether we're studying the Scriptures for ourselves, when we're gathered together in a Bible study, we are being fed God's Word. And as we feed on God's Word, that feeds the Spirit that is in us, our own Christ-like Spirit, so that that Spirit grows, and it simultaneously starves our sinful spirit inside of us. The Holy Spirit feeds us the Word of God, and this Word sanctifies us. It makes us holy. It makes us like Jesus Christ. Jesus himself, in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, verse 17, says to God, "Sanctify them," or "sanctify my disciples," Jesus says, "through your truth," or "in your truth." And he says, "Your word is truth." So the Holy Spirit feeds us with his word. That strengthens our spiritual nature so that we become more like Jesus. And as our spiritual nature is being strengthened, we're finding that the desires of the flesh are miraculously being starved and they're fading away. He feeds us with his word, but he also feeds us his fruit. Look now at verses 22-23. So in contrast to the works of the flesh, Paul goes into the fruit of the Spirit. He says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Now, we would have to admit that the first three, we really want. But as we get farther down that list, we're not so keen on having those fruits of the Spirit. We're not as keen on being kind as we really should be. We're not really that interested in being that patient. And certainly, we're not that interested in having a lot of self-control. But Paul lumps all of these things together as the fruit of the Spirit, and he says there's no law against these things. There's no law forbidding you to have these things. The fruit of the Spirit is something that God wants us to produce. But just like indulging in the works of the flesh produces those works in our life, indulging in the fruit of the Spirit produces those works. In other words, it's not just about producing those fruit. It's also about consuming that fruit. It's eating the fruit of love and joy and peace and so on. God created fruit to feed us. God says this in verse 29 of Genesis 1, and God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food." That is not simply something that he's telling Adam and Eve, go have a party and enjoy this salad lunch. There's a truth to that. A truth that God tells us that he himself feeds us and he provides the food. The first law given to man had to do with fruit. And it was fruit from a certain tree that God forbade Adam and Eve from eating. And they could eat fruit from any other tree, but the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they could not eat from it. It was forbidden. My wife recently gave me a pen. It doesn't look like a pen, but I assure you it is a pen. It writes. I don't use ballpoint pens, so I don't use it as a pen. But it's a pen. This is called a no pen. Have you ever heard of a no pen? A no pen, it says no. Is this on?
No.
No.
So it says no. Whenever your children ask you a question that you would generally say no to, you can save your voice by saying
no.
No. Can I watch TV now?
No.
Can I have a snack before supper time?
No.
Can I play a game on your phone?
No.
Can I stay up late tonight?
No.
Can I put George's head in the toilet to watch and flush it just to see what would happen?
No.
The no pen is a handy tool to have if you have kids. But it's not something that God uses with the fruit of the Spirit. See, this is God's law. It says here where is this? He says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 18. The law is about saying no. The law, don't do this. Don't do that. If you do this, you'll be punished for that. And the law is about God saying no to us. But when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, God chucks the no pen. And he says, yes, 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 yes. Against such things, there is no law. God never says no to consuming the fruit of the Spirit. God never says you can only have so much love. God never says you can only have so much self-control. He always says yes to those things. In fact, Jesus says, take, eat, when he came to his own body. God wants us to eat this spiritual fruit. Well, there's two reasons why we would eat spiritual fruit or eat any food, fuel, and enjoyment. We eat food to get fuel. And we also eat food to enjoy the life that God has given us. See, some people eat to escape problems. Others eat out of bad habits or misplaced hungers. But food is good for us when it causes us to be fueled to live our own lives. And food is good when it causes us to enjoy the life that God has given to us. Of course, we can overindulge in a good thing, and then that becomes sinful, and that's when it gets bad. But with the fruit of the Spirit, we can never have too much because it's perfect fruit. It's not sinful fruit. None of these things is sinful. They are good because they are perfect gifts from God. Now, we can't go through all 9 of these, but we can look at a couple. We already know that love is a gift from God, isn't it? God is love, and He gave Himself to us in Jesus Christ. Joy is also a gift that God gives to us. Peace comes from God, from Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Peace comes from God when we pray with thanksgiving. Paul says that Jesus is our peace in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. If we hear from Paul to Timothy, we hear this, God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. These are gifts that are given to us by God. See, we say, oh, how can I produce the gift of love? I just need to will myself to love that person. That's not how it works. We produce the fruit of the Spirit in our life not because we struggle to produce those things. We produce the fruit of the Spirit in our life because we consume the fruit of God's love and God's joy in sending His Son to us so that we might experience that joy. And God gives these to us as a gift. Not only are these gifts we receive, but they're all also characteristics of Jesus Himself, His very nature. When we receive Jesus in faith, we are receiving His own nature. And these things are already inside of us when the Spirit has brought Christ's life into us. And they need only to be cultivated and fostered. Here's the point of all this. If you want to produce this fruit, you need to consume it in Jesus Christ. Well, how do we consume this? Well, it's not like fruit that goes through the mouth. Jesus spoke of, when Jesus was teaching about defilement, He spoke of food that can't defile a person because it goes into the tummy and out the other way. It's not the mouth that matters, it's the heart that matters. And whenever spiritual fruit goes into the heart, it doesn't go out the other end because there is no other end to the heart. Fruit that goes into the heart is there to stay. It doesn't go through the mouth, it goes through the mind. And rather than biting and devouring one another, in verse 15, with our words, we devour this fruit with our ears. James chapter 1, verse 19 says, "Be quick to hear, slow to speak." If we go back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, he says this, verse 2, "Let me ask you only this, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" We receive physical food through our mouth. We receive spiritual food through our ears. That's why this context is so important. This is us feeding on God's Word because God's Word is going into our minds through our ears, and it's being digested in our minds through God's Holy Spirit power, and it's entering our heart, changing us to become more like Jesus Christ. It's a similar process with physical food, but this is a perfect process. So it's the hearing of faith that produces or that consumes this fruit. Eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God said no to.
No!
The law of Moses contained prohibitions against digesting and ingesting the fruit of the flesh or certain kinds of food. But there's no law that says you can't ingest the fruit of the Spirit. Well, our third question, how do we take advantage of... the second question, how does the Holy Spirit work on our behalf to overcome our problem? He fights for us. He feeds us. And there's a lesson that we can learn in that. And the lesson is this: feeding on the fruit of the Holy Spirit wins the war against sin and leads to godliness, exhibiting the characteristics of Christ. Again, how do we do that? I think it's a two-step process, which I think takes place simultaneously. Dallas Willard, in his book, The Spirit of the Disciplines, articulates two types of spiritual discipline. There are disciplines of abstinence and disciplines of engagement. These are habits that we get into, spiritual habits that help us understand or help us to feed on God's Spirit, help us to feed on God's spiritual fruit, help us to enjoy the spiritual fruit that God has for us. Part of it involves sacrificing some things in our life so that we can engage in other things. So there are disciplines of abstinence, solitude, fasting, frugality, chastity, and sacrifice. This is preparing us to get hungry. And then there are disciplines of engagement, things that we do actively then. We study, we worship, we serve, we engage in prayer and fellowship, confession, and submission. This is a process of eating and enjoying the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we tend to invest heavily in the disciplines of engagement. We put money and time into study and worship and service and fellowship. But how often do we neglect the disciplines of abstinence? We don't take time to get alone. We don't take time to fast. We don't allow ourselves to be frugal because we have so much disposable income. And we certainly don't engage in the discipline of chastity. But if we're going to engage in these disciplines of study and worship and those things that feed our soul, we have to prepare to get hungry in order for those things to be effective in our life. Didn't Jesus himself take time to get away, to go to desolate places so that he could be alone? If it's okay for him to do that, why is it not okay for us to do that? Have you ever sought out a desolate place? It may not be in your own home. It may be at the mall. It may be at a library somewhere. It may be in a park, on a park bench. A place where no one is going to ask you questions that you'd have to say no to. A place where you can be alone with Jesus Christ, God and His Word, taking time to be alone. Have you ever stopped for a few weeks at a time just to fast, maybe one day a week or 1 hour a day? If we invest in these disciplines of abstinence, then the disciplines of engagement become so much more helpful and effective in our life. And the key, I think, is to link these two types of discipline and engage in them both simultaneously. So while we're alone, we're able to worship. While we're fasting, we're able to pray. While we're being chaste, we can take the time to study God's Word. And all of these things put together give us an avenue, a channel for which the Holy Spirit can move and work in our life so that while we're engaging in these disciplines, the Holy Spirit is simultaneously destroying the sinful nature in our own life. And as we prepare ourselves to receive this food by following the discipline of abstinence, which is about giving up or surrendering what is in us. Paul talks about that in verse 24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That's disciplines of abstinence. What Paul calls crucifying the flesh or leaving it on the cross to die. But then we engage in these disciplines of engagement, where we feed on God's Word. And through God's Word, we're able to feed on the juicy fruit of God's Spirit. And in so doing, God says, yes, keep going, keep going. You're doing good. Everything is great. You're feeding on this food. There's no prohibition against it. So we follow these disciplines, the discipline of abstinence. And we then receive the food by faith, by following these disciplines of engagement. So finally, how do we take advantage of the Holy Spirit's work in our lifelong struggle against sin? We follow His leading. Just as Jesus followed the Spirit into the wilderness, the Holy Spirit leads us to engage with Him in crucifying those things that are sinful by engaging in the disciplines of abstinence and embrace or take in or feed on those things that are helpful by engaging in the disciplines of engagement. Again, two steps. First of all, we fast. We fast from the good things that we normally indulge in. When Jesus fasted in the wilderness, He didn't fast from sin because He's not sinful. He fasted from the good things, food. He fasted from fellowship, companionship, friendship. He fasted from comfort. Those are all good things. And He abstained from those good things. And it was in abstaining from these things that He was prepared to receive the food that the Holy Spirit was there to give Him. See, we think simply stopping sin is a matter of abstaining from sin. No, indulging in sin is simply a symptomatic of an overall indulgent lifestyle in other areas, even in the good things. If we want to develop self-control in our life, it's not just control over those sinful things that tear us down. It's developing self-control in all areas of life, even over the good things. So if you want to stop a sin, you don't have self-control over that sin and then go out of control in other areas. It's about having self-control in all areas of life. So fasting is a way of eliminating, for a brief period of time, those good things in our life so that we can gain self-control over every area of our life. And in doing that, the Holy Spirit himself is attacking that sin. So let's say you have no control in a certain area of your life. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a habit that you just can't break. Take a look at the other areas of life, the good things that you don't have control over. And see if you can develop self-control over those good things. Getting a little bit less sleep. Eating a little bit less at the dinner table. Enjoying a little bit less TV. And as you fast from those good areas, miraculously, you'll find that God is working against those bad areas simultaneously. Psalm 127, verse 2 talks about eating the bread of anxious toil. Proverbs 4:17 talks about eating the bread of wickedness. Proverbs 31:27, with the excellent wife, she doesn't eat the bread of idleness. And having self-control in every area of life allows us to avoid eating the bread of those things and allows us to eat the bread of self-control so that every area of our life is growing to be more like Jesus Christ. And that way we don't have to spend our time attacking the sin. We're attacking those good things and God's attacking the sin. So we fast, but we also feast. We feed on the spiritual things that God wants us to feed on, those disciplines of engagement, the study, the worship, the confession, the praying. But by that time, we're hungry, and we want to enjoy those things. And when we want to enjoy those things, they become so much more fulfilling. See, this is walking in the Spirit. This is being led by the Spirit. It's living by the Spirit, and it's keeping in step with the Spirit. And as we do these things, we find the desires of the flesh naturally are being starved. And the desires of the Spirit miraculously are growing and increasing. Let God handle the sin. You handle the good things in your life. And start controlling those. And when you control those good things, God will take care of the bad things. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would indeed give us that hunger that we need. Teach us to avoid those indulgences that may be good on the surface, but if we overindulge, they end up being bad. Father, help us to develop hungers. And help us to form new habits so that those hungers can be developed. But feed us your word and feed us in your word the fruit that comes from Jesus Christ, the fruit of his very nature, the fruit of his own character, so that as we feed on him, we become more like him. And as we become more like him, we find that we're exhibiting these fruits and we're helping other people to experience them through our lives. Lord, we confess that so often we fail. But Father, help us to rejoice in the fact that you don't say no to consuming your word. You always say yes. Give us opportunities to experience your yes in Christ.